seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of February in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live with lushly appointed and overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. It is Monday. Monday. And welcome to day 12. Hello. Here we are. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. There's some kind of goo all over the counter over here.
Ew, don't touch it.
That's too late, and I already did that thing where I licked my finger.
I know.
I thought it was a piece of paper. Yeah, I thought it was a piece of paper or something, like a, I don't know, like a piece of plastic or something from a bag. And so then I did that thing where I licked my index or my pointer finger, as the uneducated call it. I licked my pointing finger. What are you doing?
I have something in my eye. Continue. Talk about your gross goo over there.
All right. What you shouldn't do is think about the millions of microscopic bacteria that live on your eyelashes. Crawling around and on top
and little,
of and over your eye at any moment.
Some little worms that live in the base of your eyelashes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I licked my pointer finger just now, and I went to pick up a piece of dust off the counter. There's another one. The problem with... I'm not crazy. There's another one right there.
Oh, every time you say you're not crazy, I always remember it's Monday, and that means it's today another appointment.
It's head shrinking day at the Rick Emerson Show. I should just have him come in here. This place is better than his office, and my shrink's office sucks. It sucks, and here's the thing about my shrink, is that I get the feeling he's the new hire, because he's got the bad office. He's got the bad office, and it's got like, oh, does he have the windowless closet? No, he's in the promotions. He's in the CD, the prize closet, like I was at for the first, whatever, for the first like 6 months I was here. In what was clearly an unannounced and unofficial, but obviously understood trial period for me and everything involved with this radio program, I should have taken some pictures of that. That was the hell of the old studio. I should have taken some pictures of the old office I was in. It was literally... Literally, it was like a closet. And when I say closet, I don't mean like sometimes you'll hear people refer to a production closet or a studio closet, which is where it's a very tiny room that's been equipped to broadcast. This was literally actually a closet, like the kind that you hang coats in and it transforms you into a, you know, takes you to Narnia. I mean, I was in a wardrobe, basically. Anyway, but my shrink, you can tell that he's the new hire at his office because he's got the... I don't even think it was originally supposed to be like a patient room. I think it was originally supposed to be a room or just like you put coats when guests came over and, you know, like where you stored like the rollaway dry erase board that they use for couples night or something. Because you go in there and the ceiling, it's got that weird, slanty ceiling where it's like, I don't know. You start at one vertical wall, and the ceiling begins slanting downward at an angle. And then by the time it gets to the other vertical wall, so the room is basically triangle-shaped because the ceiling gradually slopes as it moves across the room. So clearly there's some larger room on the other side of it, and he was just shoved into the smallest space they had. And also his name is in smaller print. Now that I think about it, I think I'm being screwed. I think I'm being sent to a bargain basement. I'm not even sure that he's a shrink. Because his name is in the smallest print, now that I think about it, in like they're on their webpage or whatever. And then also, when you go out front, they've got those, you know, the little wooden plaques that hang out front that, like, you know, the doctor is in, like those Peanuts kind of things. Where, you know, it's like those things they hang out at bed and breakfast that say vacancy. And his name is at the very bottom. And I think it's hand-drawn. I have to look at this more carefully tonight.
Is there also a lemonade stand, son?
Now that I think about it, all of the anecdotal evidence points to the fact that I'm actually being psychoanalyzed by the janitor. Well, all right. Anyway, I was thinking about ditching him anyway. I don't know. We'll see you after tonight. But yes, Sarah Dillon, it is. We ought to get a sounder for that. It is Head Shrinking Day on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. My point is I should just have him come in here. That can be maybe an exciting new evening program for us. You know, whatever. Tactical problems, something doesn't work out, either John or Jeff gets hit by a truck, suddenly that becomes the new evening program. We could offer, how about this for this radio station? We could do like a trade somehow. The sales department could probably hook this together. We do a trade out. Every night we offer someone free psychoanalysis or Jungian analysis, whatever it is they're into, with the proviso that it's got to be on the air from 10 to 11. That's exciting radio.
That is actually a pretty good idea.
In your face, everybody who's not me, that's a great idea.
You got to stop playing with your pen, Rick.
That's like, I'm going to put the pen down. That's like reality television, but it's on the radio. And the thing is, we get a real shrink. The shrink pays us. CBS makes a little, makes that dollar, as the kids say. The patient comes in, gets some free and hopefully not too shoddy mental health care. We broadcast. That's a great idea, and it works out perfectly because if you, now, if you've anybody out there has been to therapy, and if therapy is nothing to be ashamed of, if you've been to therapy, what is it? I was listening to Tom to Likas. I think he said he used to go like four times a week or something, and I think he goes once a month or whatever now. But anyway, so there's no no shame in therapy. So, but if you've been to a therapist, you know that they don't do a full hour. It's 50 minutes, 5-0. They're 50 minute.
Gotta leave that 10 minute buffer between the two crazy people.
First upsets. That's what that 10 minutes is for. That 10 minutes is for commercial advertising. Placement of products, goods, and services to be sold and offered to the public. And yeah, and for them to decompress between crazy people. And to call up their friends and go, you will never believe this nutcase I just interviewed. All right, that's a fantastic idea. I would listen to that. You'd totally listen to that. And you know that there are desperate, crazy people out there who can't afford therapy who would do it.
I'd do it.
We could put some sort of, and if the shrink was worried about some sort of, I don't know, privacy issue, we could put some kind of a, whatever, like a harmonizer on their voice so it didn't necessarily sound like them. If they can do that divorce court crap, where like legal proceedings are on television, why can't they, why couldn't they do some shrink session on the radio? I'm going to write that down. That's a great idea. And that's shrink. Shrink on radio. And that's one of those ideas that people may think has gone, you know, it's too far. But you know what? You bastards, you know, in like 5 years, you watch, somebody will be doing that. That'll be a whole, like, serious radio format. That'll be like Sirius Channel 205, live psychotherapy. And you'll say, that Rick Emerson, we mocked him. And now it's being done. All right. Well, you might not say that. All right. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. The point is that when I came in, there was some, I thought it was paper on the counter. I licked my pointer finger. I put my finger down on the counter to pick up the piece of paper.
Finger?
My finger. And it was actually a little piece of goo. Thank you. It wasn't paper at all. It was some sort of viscous goo.
Use the Purell. For the love of God. That is so gross.
Put the hand sanitizer.
It's all the joy of having weekend shows.
Yeah, not to mention all of our Visa's gone, and there's the skull that we had in the studio.
Somebody broke it. I'd like to thank whoever did that, by the way, over the weekend. I swear to God, we're going to get
hammered. I just decided not to even try and cover the evidence. Just left it on the floor broken.
Seriously. We have, or had, rather, a refrigerator. And don't get me wrong, we're not stingy about the Visa. For people who work here, people who are part of the station, Visa for all. I'm just going to say that in the space of about 4 days, we had three cases of it that was gone. And then the pride and joy of the studio, the one decoration we took from the last place over here, is this huge, massive three-horned skull that was a present from a listener. A listener gave to us, and I know I'm making it sound cheesy, like a Spencer's Gifts thing, but it was actually pretty cool. And we had it sitting up on top of one of our consoles. I came in this morning on the floor, broken into about a dozen pieces, because it was like a hard ceramic, broken into like a dozen pieces, not even assembled, put together, thrown away, just left on the floor broken. Bastards. Oh well, I'm not bitter. There you go. See, this 9 minutes right here has already been more content than most of the shows give you all day. Just think about all the things we've covered in just this first. We're not even halfway through this first hour. You've already gotten your money's worth. All right, here's what we got today. We will get It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Let's see, blah 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 blah. That's the Red Hot Pistol guys. Red Hot Pistol, we're looking for us to, they're looking for us to find a new singer. So we will play an instrumental version of one of their songs today, and it will play a version that somebody submitted to them, a lead singing hopeful, which is in fact the worst thing ever recorded. So we'll play that later on. Let's see, we'll talk about the Grammys, the Dixie Chicks tell country radio to suck it. Let's see, what else? Scotty J's Suburban Perspective. This is the best thing about Scotty, by the way. I came in today, and I had already had it in my brain that I was going to talk to Scotty about the Dixie Chicks. I came in today. I walked down the hallway. He's just sitting in his office doing whatever it is he does, doing Scotty J things. I walk by Scotty J's room, and I say, "Morning, Scotty." And he says, "Oh, man, that Dixie Chicks thing is just such a bunch of BS." Except he uses the word.
A lot more profanity.
Yeah, and he sort of, like, bellows it out at me. Anyway, let's see. We'll talk to CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard today. We'll talk to CNN Radio correspondent Jim Rufo with At the Grammys. Boy, the Dixie Chicks, God love them, but they're looking phony. Boy, that's just a whole lot of pointy knees and sharp elbows on those girls. Even the fat one's bony now. Let's see. What else do we have here? We already know what was in Anna Nicole Smith's stomach. Now we find out what's in her refrigerator. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, and CNN Radio correspondent Rachel McGrath, who was going to be with us on Friday or Thursday or whenever the hell it was, and then didn't because a bunch of crap happened. I don't know. Well, we got that. We may or may talk to Peter Carlin. I don't know. Marty. Let's see. Marty says he knows who broke the horns. I don't even know if I want to take this because then it's going to make me angry at somebody. And now Dave is saying it was broken on the air. I'm looking at his calls that I haven't taken.
It broke a long time ago, but we fixed it.
Yeah, but it was broken in places where it wasn't broken before. That's the thing. Before there was one horn, or no, it was a tooth. There was a tooth that was broken. And it's now broken in places that it wasn't broken before. It was broken into like 8 different pieces. Scotty's noting he had it fixed completely. Okay, I'm looking at these calls. We've got one caller here who says he knows who broke it. Another caller here who says it was broken on the air. The thing is, if I take these and then I find out, then I'm going to become angry to whoever that is.
Because a lot of people don't know, but you are the boss.
That's a relative term.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the boss of us.
You're not the boss of... Oh, wait. Let's see. All right. Well, should I take these at the risk of becoming angry at whoever it is that broke this?
Might as well.
Yes, we want to see anger.
You don't seem that angry, though. I think it'll be okay.
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 Says you. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted you to know that item was broken on the air.
By whom?
In order to save face, I'll just say it was on a weekend show, and he also has a sidekick named Sarah. So I'll just leave it nameless at that, so that way you can, without giving away the name, you can leave up to your investigative talents to determine who that might be.
All right. Thank you, Dave. All right, there you go. That's Dave.
Huh.
Let's talk to Marty. Marty, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Rick.
Hi, how are you?
And Tim.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
How can I help you today, sir?
I just wanted to concur that I heard an admission on the air.
You heard a what?
An admission.
An admission.
Broken.
Of what kind, sir?
An admission that started out to be a really bad day.
Mm-hmm.
That broke Rick Emerson's mug.
All right. And now, who was it that made this admission on the air?
I'll concur with the last caller.
Why is it... Look, don't be a pussy, sir. You just tell me who it was.
Yeah, you called to say it.
His last name is Savage.
Last name is Savage. Thanks for...
Michael Savage.
Michael Savage.
He'll never be on the air here again.
While flailing about in a tirade against illegal immigration, Michael Savage apparently broke our skull.
He came from San Francisco to...
Stupid gay marriage!
We're off onto the floor. Family values.
Yes. All right, thank you.
You betcha.
Thank you. All right, that's Marty. All right. Well, let's see here. Sidekick named Sarah. Last name of Savage.
I don't know.
It seems like it's just beyond the...
Is it the fuel show?
It could be. It seems like it's just beyond the reach of my intellect. It's like it's almost graspable, but I can't quite put my finger on... Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program, but just on, let's put on this guest mic here. Why, it's Sarah Wagner from the Timnasium, who just happened to be walking by the studio moments ago. Hi, Sarah, how you doing?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Were you actually just coincidentally walking by this?
No, I was actually listening to your program, and a wave of guilt rushed over me.
Here's how we're going to do this. We're going to do this exactly the way that a former general manager of mine used to do this.
Okay.
I'm going to just sort of cross my fingers, sort of Vito Corleone style.
You're a very fine human being, and we're lucky to have you here.
Look, you know, boy, it's been real. The economy is really tight these days. Now, this is exactly what my GM used to do. He used to cross his hands, and these big, watery, ice blue eyes, and he looked just like James Gandolfini. And he would sort of purse his lips, and he would kind of look off to the left, and then he'd kind of roll his eyes up as though he was looking at the ceiling, and then he would just sort of look at you. He would make the following statement, and then he would cock his head like the Victrola dog, or that RCA dog, or whatever it is. Sarah, is there anything you'd like to tell me?
Yes, there is. So, the story goes like this. We were probably 10 seconds to going on air, and Tim, being Tim, grabs
Tim
the
Savage.
Horns. Yes. Grabs the horns, and he's trying to scare me with them.
Okay, I immediately can't be angry. I am immediately no longer angry about it.
Breaks, and it flies off, and then shatters, and we both just freeze. There's like 3 seconds to going on air now, and he's like, oh, my God. And I'm like, you are so busted. And then we're like, the gymnasium, we're on air. And then we just forgot about it afterwards. We admitted it on air, and then we forgot about it. And then he was even saying, like, well, I don't think I'm going to tell him. And I was like, well, you just admitted it on air, so there's probably a way he can find out from here. So,
well, the good news is you had at least two people listening when it happened. So
yeah, I know that.
So that's one in the win column.
Is Tim coming in today?
He'll be in later tonight.
He'll
probably.
Be in tonight. No,
yeah.
He will not be in time to be part of our cavalcade of merriment here.
I'm really, on his behalf.
All right, well, that's
very sorry.
No, you know, the thing is, and
and you want to know that last night, I actually woke up.
I can totally
I woke up, and I was like, oh, no, we left that on the floor. Here's, we didn't even clean it up.
Would you like to know the funny part about you waking up last night and realizing that? Is that you and I talked this morning, and you failed to mention it.
You know, yeah, that's true. I didn't even remember it until
you walked by my office this morning. Hi, Rick, how are you? I'm like, this is how, now, if I can say this on the air, if you don't mind, this is, we're talking to Sarah Wagner, who's with the Tim Savage on the gymnasium on weekends, the people who broke our skull. This is the best part, is that you actually walked by me this morning in the hallway. You ducked and you said, hey, how are you? And I'm fine. How was your weekend? Great. And then you actually went so far as to reveal that I appeared in a dream you had.
You and Sarah Dillon were in a dream that I had last night. Yeah.
So
what happened in the dream?
We were just
hanging out.
And James Gandolfini was there, wasn't he?
James Gandolfini was my boyfriend, which is nice. And you actually got into a fight. Someone was trying to keep you off the radio, and Rick was trying to handle it diplomatically, and then you took it.
Scotty is noting on the screen that your dream is pure guilt. Your dream has guilt written all over it. So this morning it didn't occur to you.
It didn't. Until I was listening, and I was like, oh, we're so busted.
Right.
Down there.
I will say, though, that just look, if you know Tim Savage, if you heard him on KUFO, if you've heard him on Timnasium, which is a fine program that really ought to be listened to Saturdays, 4 to 6, I will say the image of him picking that cell up by the horns and shaking it at you is really fantastic. And I can no longer be angry. My anger
I'm
is
I'm glad
dissipated.
That you're not angry. And for the record, we don't drink your Viso. I've only had one, and you offered it to me.
Well, no, that's fine. No, there is an open door policy about the Viso, but it's just like anything else.
We think it's someone from the outside.
It's not an AM970.
No. The people who work on this station have, as they say, carte blanche when it comes to the Viso. Here's what irritates me about it. And I don't mean to sound like a jerk about this, because it's not like we pay for it. I mean, we drink it, and the Viso guy, you know, Alex brings us more, and whatever. I came in the other day, and there's a Viso that has been, like, somebody's cracked it open, had, like one sip of it, and then it just sat on the shelf all weekend. It sat like on the window ledge all weekend.
I understand that.
So, and that irritates me.
I know, that's just the most infuriating thing to you.
Seriously, it just annoys me. So, in any event, all right, well, okay.
I apologize.
You know what? Your
skull.
It's almost worth it. Oh, not quite, but almost worth it just to have the image in my head of him shaking it like a voodoo god at you, shaking it like a bewitched tiki in your direction.
Sort of
a fear me kind of a thing.
I wish you could have seen his face after the horn broke, though. That was the even better part.
That actually would make it not only worthwhile, that would actually make the whole thing a plus to me. Like, if I just had film of it happening. All right.
All right.
Sarah Wagner from the Timnasium, Saturday, 4 to 6. Thank you. All right, there you go. Well, there you go. Mystery solved. That really
you can't be mad.
No, because I can see it. I can totally see him picking it up. Just picking it up and shaking it in a menacing fashion, and then the whole thing just snaps and falls into a billion pieces. That actually is pretty funny. All right. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Well, so we have a Suburban Perspective, Rachel McGrath, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Anna Nicole Smith, etc. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. And you just told me this before. You did or you did not go to the Monster Truck Rally?
I did.
The Monster Jam.
I was front row.
Was it everything you imagined and more?
It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And they had a bunch of motocross people at the beginning. I think motocross, that's the motorcycles, right?
Yeah.
So they had all these motorcycle people on the ramps, and they were flying off their bikes and stuff. But we were literally in the front row getting sprayed with, like, exhaust and mud and everything.
Excellent.
It was really rad. Drank a bunch of beer.
What America's all about.
Yeah, saw these monster trucks, like, flying. They had this like mountain thing in the middle that all the dirt bikes were like riding over and stuff, but some of the trucks tried to go over them.
Right.
And one of the trucks went over. I mean, their tires are huge. They're like, you know, 5 feet tall.
Right, right.
And it flew over this thing, and then it landed on the ground. One of the tires just went flying. I mean, the car was just, you know, completely deconstructing. It was awesome. They're just falling apart.
Excellent. Well, no, that's what America, that really is. It is the embodiment of all things American.
And it was packed. Yeah. It was full all the way. It was in the Rose Garden, full all the way to the ceiling.
Yep.
All the way to the ceiling.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm like, where are these people coming from?
You can't even get that many people to vote in this state. But you know, you have a car destroying other cars, and man, people will pay any price to see that.
Oh, and it was the loudest thing I've ever heard.
Did they have an announcer? Do they have like, no, Grave Digger? Did they have that
Digger
guy?
Was there?
Grave Digger's badass.
That was so rad. Yeah, with the bright red headlights, and yeah, it's all cool.
It used to be about Bigfoot, but now Grave Digger is the new Bigfoot. So
yeah,
fantastic.
They had all these really ridiculous looking cars. Like they had the Patriot.
Yeah.
And
what about the Bi-Mart car? That's the one that sounded really badass to me.
It was the Bi-Mart car.
Right on.
The Bi-Mart car, that guy was a little crazy. The craziest one though was Grave Digger. I mean, he was just out of control, like spinning around on his side. It was insane.
Excellent.
I don't think I'd want to, you know, it's not something I'd want to do all the time.
No, you gotta know. You gotta go every now and again though, just to remind yourself of what it is that our brave men are fighting for. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, take that, America. The Dixie Chicks win every Grammy imaginable.
In your face.
The Dixie Chicks steal the show.
They're still not ready to make nice, though.
Just in time for Valentine's Day, America begins a new love affair with the Dixie Chicks.
There you go, Scotty. News just for you today. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see. What the hell are we doing here? I got all these calls, and I got all this whatnot to get to. Let's see. Well, okay. No, I just don't know. Well, let me get this. This is Tim. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Not too much. I had an idea. I think Tim should do some penance or contrition for breaking the skull.
Oh, Tim Savage?
Mm-hmm.
Such as
doing your push-ups at the end of the week?
Maybe. I'll save this up. I'll save it up, and I'll bring it up at some point when he's done, when I need to make him feel guilty about something.
The other idea was maybe having him post a staff picture on AM970.com with him in a tutu.
Maybe. See, the thing is,
he'd love that.
That's the sort of thing. Look, I got to tell you, the last time I was at any public event with Tim Savage, which was at a thing that Court and Fatboy did, and that guy showed up full-on in drag, which I was told he does pretty regularly. Also, I know he's been known to take off his pants and chase Court and Fatboy around the studio with his member. So that's a thing that happens now and again. So it can't be anything like that. He'd just enjoy it. So, all right. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Thatcher, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Thatcher. Going once. Going twice. I'm no longer going to give like a going twice. It's just going to be sort of a going once kind of a thing.
That's a good idea.
What did I have here? I have here slept. Why was that important to me to note him? What does it mean? Slept.
Did you sleep?
I did. Well, okay. Check that off the list. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, well, we should probably break here in a second. We got Lisa Goddard coming up around the corner. And whatnot. So don't go anywhere. Ben, you slept in my car. Speaking of my car, and that is, thank you, Scotty, speaking of sleeping in my car. So two things happened this weekend, real briefly, just because of the ongoing saga of my 4Runner and the fact that it's been stolen 3 times. So my landlord arrived this weekend and installed those, what is those motion sensitive floodlight things? And they're all over the house now. And you know, I live in this house that is not a duplex, but that seems very much like a duplex. Blah blah blah. So it is
a duplex.
It's not a duplex. It's not a duplex.
Do you share a roof with the house?
Yeah, but we don't share a wall.
Do you share a roof?
Not really. We don't share it so much as it's there above both houses. But it is from the outside, I can see how the casual observer, without any sort of investigation, if he hadn't actually gone inside, you might think it was a duplex. Anyway, so the whole house now is ringed, like Alcatraz style, with these, and they're like 5 million candle power, like those kind of, they go on and it's like the sun, and there's two of them on every little posting, so about every 10 feet, all the way around both, and our neighbors, Megan and, is it Matt? Look, you know Megan's boyfriend's name, that girl that lives next door?
I think
so,
yeah.
Matt, yeah. Anyway, our neighbors, it's all around their house too, so about every 10 feet, you can't go outside, and so every time I take the dog outside to, like, use the bathroom at, like, midnight, I walk outside, and it goes from being, because all of the streetlights on our street are burned out. The city never bothers to replace them. The streetlights are all gone. That's why the cars keep getting stolen. So every time I take the dog out, I'm like, come on, Max, let's go outside. Here we go, you know. Let's walk 4 feet outside. I walk out, I get 3 steps, and then... And then all the lights just go on, and it's like I've been spotted running for the fence at Shawshank. And I expect some guys to start to come and beat me and stick me in the box for a night, like Cool Hand Luke style. So Megan comes over. So Laura and I are sitting around the house last night doing a whole lot of nothing. Front door, somebody knocks at the door. I open it, and it's my neighbor, Megan. And so she knows the show, and she knows us a little bit. And she's fully aware that the 4Runner's been stolen 3 times. And so she knocks at the door, and we open it, and she says, hi. I just wanted to let you guys know, and immediately I'm bracing for, like, the terrible news.
Uh-huh.
I'm bracing for something bad. They didn't steal her car, but here's what they did. Some guys stole another car. They came by, and they stole her license plates and put the stolen car's plates on her car. And, you know, thieves put an awful lot of work into things. They really do. Just work that you wouldn't necessarily think that they would even be capable of mentally. So they stole. So that's the latest thing that happened. Like right, and it's creepy to think that a guy is doing it right in front of your house while I'm inside a bagel.
When I had my car broken into, I mean, it's just so unnerving to sit in your car and realize the last person sitting there was the person who wasn't supposed to be there, and they're violating your stuff.
And the fact that a guy came by, took a screwdriver, took off her license plate, and her car is parked right next to mine in front of the house, came by, took off her license plate, put on the stolen car's license plate, did all this. What creeps you out is the idea, because my kitchen window looks out on the street, what creeps you out is the idea that while I was in the kitchen making a, you know, whatever, making a scone, if I had just looked out into the street at the right moment, I would have seen some guys, like, hunkered down and, like, drilling something into the side of her car. It's just freaky. The whole thing is really unnerving. We got a break here. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We come back, Lisa Goddard and the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Stay right there. Genius. Hello. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-7. I love this bit. Here's the thing that annoys me in talk radio. Have you ever noticed this in talk radio? That most talk show hosts, and Stephanie Miller is one of the, and Don and Mike are another example of exceptions to this. How guys in talk radio, the talk radio hosts, it's like they're not even aware that they're talking over music. Have you ever noticed that? And there'll be some particularly great or loud or weird or bad or strange sort of music bed, but they just sort of pretend that it's not even there. They don't even acknowledge it. They don't acknowledge when something interesting is playing. They don't acknowledge when they're playing something bad or when they're playing something that is, unusually compelling. Like that, and the fact that it's got that weird sampled, what I can only assume is James Brown, in the back. So there you go.
What was that? Okay, don't.
That's what that is. All right. Papa's got a brand new body. All right, hello. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hi, hello there.
How are you doing today?
I'm all right. I'm doing good.
You sound a little loopy.
It's a Monday. I've got a
You got a case of the Mondays.
I'm not going there, but essentially, yes.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things that you can't really say anymore because of that movie, and that's one of them, but it sounds like it may be true. Hey, you know what I was thinking about? You can pass this along to Jason Sporbert, your fiancé. You know what I was thinking of? You know, he really, and no disrespect to him, I'm sure he's a fine, upstanding individual who treats his mother well. I'm just saying.
He does, and his grandmother.
I'm just, of course. Did you actually just give yourself an awe?
Yes, I did. I was trying to save you some time, but I ended up just costing more.
That's fantastic. Okay. Well, I almost feel like an ass then for what I'm going to say. I was just going to say that I know he did this thing of like, and this sounds creepy on the face of it, but he led you into the woods alone, and then there was like some friends in a drum circle or whatever it is he does, and then he said, hey, will you marry me? And everybody applauded, and then there was, and then everybody went, aw, or whatever.
Yes.
You know what he should have done, though, in retrospect? He really should have had some sort of large, elegant proposal printed up on a kite. And then the kite would have been flush to the ground, you know, the parallel to the ground, so you can't see it. And then whoosh, he gets the kite up in the air, and it says, and maybe using the tail to spell out additional words if needed, you know, will you marry me, Lisa, like love, Sporbert, or whatever.
That's actually pretty cool. It'd have to be a pretty big kite. But that's still a really, that's a cool idea.
Well, I'm just saying, it seems like, you know, you just tell him when you've, you know, 10 years from now, whenever it is time comes for the renewal of vows, tell him he can have that idea. He doesn't need to pay me anything that idea is. That's the wedding present to y'all from Rick Emerson.
Free use. Free, that's excellent. So we won't go to court over it if he uses it.
It's what I do. It was Scotty trying to pick a fight with you about the Dixie Chicks while you were being screened?
He was audibly shaking his head in frustration.
You know, the best thing about that is when he shakes his head, there is actually a small rattling sound you can hear if you listen very, very closely.
Right. Yeah, you can tell he is highly frustrated, apparently not only with the Dixie Chicks win last night, but also apparently at perhaps jubilation on your part. I don't know, however much you guys are talking about it.
Oh, no, we let off with that today, talking about that. Here's how my morning started, and then we'll actually get to the real news. But I walked in this morning, and I had not said the words Dixie nor Chicks to him. I walked in, he's sitting in his room doing what he does, and I'm walking by to get some coffee, and I see him sitting there, and I say, "Hi, Scotty, good morning, how are you?" And he says, "Fine. How's your weekend?" "Fine." And then he just unleashes with the, you know, "This Dixie Chick thing is some real BS." Except he screams the real word at me, and then he just goes back to angrily pounding at the keyboard like some sort of rabid typist. So anyway, all right, well, just
never good. But you know, he was able to give me some good advice, because this is a question for you and the listeners as well.
Yeah.
When buying basketball tickets for a boyfriend, let's say, would it be better, like as a gift, would it be better to get tickets on the end or higher up and in the middle?
Are you saying as a fan, where would you rather be sitting?
Where do you think I should write? If I'm giving them as a gift to him, where would be better tickets?
You know, I am the single worst person on earth to ask that question to, but I'll tell you what, we'll ask that right now. By the end of this call, we'll have an answer.
All right, fabulous.
So you are presumably getting Jason Sporbert some basketball tickets, and the question is, should they be on the ends or where?
Right, lower and on the ends, or higher and in the middle.
All right, so there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. When it comes to basketball seating, is it better to be lower on the ends or higher and in the middle? There you go. All right.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about news that isn't really news, because we all knew it was the case, but it gives me a little visceral thrill anyway, just to say it, that Barack Obama is now officially running for president.
He is in.
When did he make this? Was it the weekend or was it Friday? When did he say this?
I think it was Friday, and then by Sunday night, he had already done multitude of events and was on 60 Minutes, so they are rolling.
Is it true that there's some page that is like my.barackobama.com or whatever, there's already something like 1,000 so-called grassroots pages or campaign pages or fundraising pages that have already started up? I mean, I can't even imagine the momentum that's going to be behind this guy, presuming he doesn't blow himself up somehow within 8 months.
Well, we've got to see. You never know early. It's so hard to predict, but right now, for sure, he's got a lot going for him. And in fact, he sort of had a double bubble here, because initially he came out, he was super everyone popular in his bathing suit, and now he's actually getting extra mileage out of the critics who are saying, "Oh, well, you don't have as much substance, you don't have a lot of experience." And he actually does have a lot of very concrete ideas, and so now he's sort of using that to be like, "Oh, you thought I didn't have any ideas, but look at all of these ideas." So he's getting, now he sort of had the style up front, and now he's trying to bring in the substance. We'll see how far he goes. I think fundraising is going to be something that will be tricky for him, just because he hasn't been around. He doesn't have the same contacts, but you can bet already we know a lot of Democratic operatives are starting to help him. We'll see. I think those are his problems, fundraising and then foreign policy experience. That's really where that's our main issue right now, is our foreign policy, and that's where he has the least experience. So that's a tricky area for him.
Well, in terms of fundraising, certainly, I mean, we're adults. We can speak frankly about this, but I think we know that there are any number of groups or factions or slices of America that will do whatever they can in fundraising, simply because you know, there's guys who want to see the order shaken up a little bit. And whether it's a female president, whether it's a president that's not an old white guy, whatever it is, you know, there's people that see inherent value. value, and a little shaken up, a little diversity there.
But
and so
let's just be honest, Oprah's already endorsed him. Does he need anybody else?
Man, the only thing that guy could do better at this point is to add Oprah as his running mate. You want to talk about a lock? You want to talk about just locking it down and getting into it? I got to tell you, man, 90% of the women I know don't vote, and I think they all would if Oprah was on the ticket. I mean, they're good, bad, and different. That's just a fact. So,
even the people that she does, you know, everyone knows she's got the diva thing. Even the people she rubs the wrong way, I think still either through the fact that they deep down like her, or they deep down are scared of her. They would probably support her.
You get the feeling that she's a woman who can get things done. Where has Hillary been during this, as they say, news cycle? Is she just going to lay low and let the sort of Barack, the sort of initial momentum kind of fade out, or is she going to make a concerted effort to stay out there in front of a camera?
Right, she's out there, and the game right now is really winning in those early states. So Hillary was in New Hampshire, and she hadn't been there, I think, since 2004, until the past couple of weeks. So she was out there knocking on doors in New Hampshire, and you know, those New Hampshire voters, they like the tough questions, giving her a really good round of questioning on her vote to support the president's invasion of Iraq. And, you know, she explains that as saying, well, I gave the authority for something that I had the wrong information on. We were misled on Iraq. Right. I gave him the authority I wanted more inspectors. I didn't want this. But still, I think people in New Hampshire weren't quite satisfied with that answer, and they wanted to know from her exactly when she would end the war and how, and she's not giving those answers. Unlike Barack Obama's got a little edge on her there, perhaps, and he's giving definitive dates. He says he wants the U.S. troops out of Iraq by March 2008. Now that can help him with liberals, but it may hurt him with more moderates who think that a pullout like that could do more harm than good. So both of them are juggling these issues and just taking different stance is trying to win as many votes as they can, or maybe say what they believe.
Man, I think Americans respond to a couple of things. As the good people at Maxim magazine learned a long time ago, Americans respond really well to lists of things, and Americans respond really well to target dates, cutoff dates, and specific times in time frames and schedules. And so, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but I'm saying for his purposes, for electoral purposes, I don't think it really matters whether he can do it by March 8th of 2008. The fact that he's giving a specific date, Americans respond, as George W. Bush knows, really well to concrete, seemingly inflexible statements like that. And you will never go wrong with the American people by giving them something tangible they can hold on to, even if it dissipates when the time comes.
And what's interesting, though, is Australians apparently don't like that as much, because now the Australian Prime Minister is coming out saying that, criticizing Barack Obama for putting that date out there and saying essentially that if he were a member of Al-Qaeda or the other groups opposed to the United States, that he would take his pen and circle that date and really look forward to it and plan around that. But, you know, he hasn't backed down from that criticism, and Barack Obama hasn't backed down from his statement either. In fact, he said, great, I like it that one of the allies of George Bush is criticizing me. That makes him decision.
That's what'll get you in the White House right there, is that attitude. That's a little, a little Deanism. I mean, that's the attitude that Howard Dean had, and people can criticize Sizzle over steak all they want, but that's, you know, what people vote for Sizzle, and people vote for attitude and style and a certain panache, whether we want to admit that or not, and that's certainly the case. And that's exactly what I would do. And it's just a ludicrous statement, it seems like, for that Australian guy to say anyway, that electing Barack Obama would be a boon for terrorists, because as though the terrorists are just being real docile and passive right now, as though everything's just a cakewalk over there at the moment, you know? I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. All right. Well,
here's another quick tangent then. Did you hear, I think this was a week and a half ago now, over in the House, in a committee hearing, I can't remember which committee, Condoleezza Rice was defending the State Department's budget,
mm-hmm.
and I so sadly don't have this on tape, and forgive me if we've talked about this, I don't think we have, that she was talking about that they need more people who speak different languages, especially Arabic, Urdu, those kinds of things. And one of the Democratic congressmen said, well, do you all have Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Are gays allowed to work openly in the State Department, and gays and lesbians? And she said, oh, yes, they are. And the congressman said, well, have you thought about bringing over, you know, gay men and lesbians who may have to leave the armed services, who speak languages? And she sort of, you can tell she's off guard. She says, well, okay, we'll look into it. And then this congressman gets on his soapbox and says, you know, now that I think about it, I think this administration is more scared of gays and lesbians than they are of terrorists. You know, and if Osama bin Laden thought about it, this was in a committee hearing, Congressman saying, if Osama bin Laden thought about it, if he just would drop a unit of lesbians, we would run.
Fantastic.
Condoleezza Rice didn't quite know how to respond.
To paraphrase Eddie Izzard, you know, just drop a squadron of terrorists with fantastic makeup. All right. Well, we've got some, before we go into some answers here with basketball, let's see. So hopefully this will work on you able to hear this. Bill.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Lisa Goddard. What's up?
Hi, Lisa. My personal opinion is that I don't care where the seats are. The lowest possible is best.
Okay.
Closest to the floor.
All right. And is that just, and that's just your personal preference? Is that the preference of the guys you know as well?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
All right. Let's get Dan. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Lisa Goddard. Hello. Dan?
Dan?
All right. I'm having a little wackiness with the phones here. All right. Well, anyway, I'm looking here at the email, though, and the email seems to concur here. It says, let's see.
The lower.
David says, whenever possible, the lower to the floor, the better. He says, anything will do in a pinch, but the floor is where you want to be. So there you go. So, yeah, as low to the floor as possible. That looks to be... And Scotty's really trying to parse this even further. A little elevation helps, he says. Not too low, though. Thank you. although it should be noted that the lone woman who called in about this, Scotty was doing a little insta-polling, said center higher up above, but the men universally come down on lower to the floor.
Fascinating.
So there you go. See, the Rick Emerson Show makes your life better in every...
I was going to go higher up and in the middle, but, you know, you guys have turned me around.
Well, it's what we do. We try to improve your life in every conceivable and sometimes inconceivable fashion and style, Lisa. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will speak with you very soon.
Excellent.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill, ladies and gentlemen. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's what that is. Hi, Sarah. How you doing?
Hi.
Are you back from your daily 12-minute vacation while I talk to Lisa Goddard?
Of course I am.
Thank you.
No, the computer's just acting a little weird today. I was just concerned about that.
Let's talk to Jim. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Jim, what's up? Hey. Rick Emerson Show. Yeah, sir, please turn down your radio.
I'm taking care of everything right now.
Thank you.
I got a speaker. I apologize.
Not at all.
No worries.
What's up?
Okay, listen, did you guys watch Smokey Robinson last night?
Okay, what did Smokey Robinson do? Because everybody has emailed me about it, but they all assumed that I saw it, and so it was a lot of Smokey Robinson, Grammys, but no one has told me what it was because they all figure I watched it, and I did not.
Well, first of all, if he had another facelift, he'd lose his shoe size.
Okay. Did he look bad?
He looked real bad, but...
I mean, because he's got to be, Smokey Robinson has got to be, what is this, 2007? He's got to be 60-something, right? He's got to be late 60s, probably?
I would think.
Yeah.
Early 70s,
yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, in that song, Tracks of My Tears.
Right.
Are you familiar with that song?
Yeah, if you look closer, it's easy to trace the tracks of my tears, yeah.
And then he goes, I need you, la, la, la.
Right.
Outside, I'm masquerading.
Right.
Now, what he said was, or what he sang was, outside... I'm masturbating.
That's not true.
I'm telling you.
We gotta get audio.
Really?
Look at it. Listen to it.
Smokey Robinson said this?
He sang it. I think he had a senior moment, forgot the words, and...
That's just insane.
Look at it again, if you have TiVo.
All right. Sarah's hitting the YouTube right now for that. All right. Actually, well, we'll look into that. I can't... Okay, well, now I gotta know. All right, Jim, you're in North Sub. Thank you, sir.
You betcha.
God bless you. There you go. That's Jim. All right, well, now we got to find out. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In the meantime, let's see. Scotty J to the Rick Emerson studio, please. Yeah, well, that would explain why it can't just be this one guy who is imagining it, because a whole bunch of people who email me, like, you see them things smoking around and then Rammies? And I did not see it, so... Our PA Scotty J now entering the studio. Oh no. Now he's got a little notepad full of scribbled bullet points.
Oh,
were you picking
on.
A fight with Lisa Goddard about the Dixie Chicks this morning? I'm sorry,
not
get
really.
The microphone.
I'm gonna go grab something real fast, a headphone thing.
All right,
I'll be
right
back.
Missing the headphone jack? Alright, okay. Skull broken, Viso gone. Headphone jack missing.
It's chaos.
All right. No, in any event. Any luck on the...
I don't understand why he's... No, I haven't found it yet, but I don't understand why he's so angry about it.
Yeah, we'll find out. And I've got that Dixie Chick song queued up, so we can get to that here in just a short while. All right, so I'm looking for email on the Smokey Robinson thing. If anybody saw that, or if you have video or audio of it, please now to be... This is why Scotty's great, because he walked back to his room to get his headphones, and so now he's just, there was a phone ringing, and so now he's just staying there. So easily distracted. The attention span of a goldfish. All right. Scotty J re-entering the studio now. All right. How are you, Scotty? How was your weekend?
Hey, it was excellent. Oh, except for the dog kind of poked me in the eye, but I'll be fine.
The dog poked you in the eye.
Yeah, he was taking a nap, and I rolled him over, and my face got too close to his paw, and he, like, poked me in the eye with his pony.
Well, living in the suburbs is a dangerous task.
It is.
All right. So, were you picking a fight with Lisa Goddard about the Dixie Chicks, by the way?
No, I'm starting to think that she's got, you know, similar views in some ways.
All right. I swear to God, don't...
Right.
If you do anything to annoy her or irritate her, if you do anything that results in Lisa Goddard no longer calling this program, we will take you outside and beat you into dust savagely. Just so you know that warning is out there. So this is what happens. So I walk in this morning. You're sitting in your room doing your thing. I walk by to the kitchen to get some coffee, and I say, "Hey, Scotty, how's it going?" You're like, "Fine. Good morning. How's your weekend?" "Fine." "Well, you know, this Dixie Chicks thing is just some BS." You just unload on me, and then you say the actual word. So, Scotty J, what is the suburban perspective on the Dixie Chicks?
Well, first of all, the reason why I asked you that question is because I remember, what was it, 5 months ago or something, when they wouldn't play their songs on the radio, their latest album. How long has it been? 5 months?
Four months? All-powerful cloud of country radio. What?
And it was like 4 or 5 months ago over there next door to Couple.
It was something like that.
And they wouldn't play the songs, and you were like, "I hate those Dixie Chicks." And so I thought today I know that you were like, you know, that they're out there making this music just for saying what they're saying just to create hype of some sort.
All right. I don't know what radio program you were listening to, but I don't think anybody on this show said that.
Okay. What did you say that we said?
That I thought that you guys were...
That we were anti-Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, you were. You were.
In no way was I anti-Dixie Chicks.
All right.
Well, right, that was you. You're projecting. Remember
yeah, seriously.
How
I think I'm Rick. You're Scotty.
Okay.
I in no way am opposed.
That day that when they weren't playing it, you were just like, you thought it was funny or something.
Okay.
Great.
Help a brother out here. I don't know what he's talking about.
Scotty, see, the key to good radio is you can't make things up on the spot.
Okay, I'm not making it up. I remember that day specifically when we were talking about Couple not playing it.
Were we being sarcastic?
Maybe you had me fooled. Maybe you were being sarcastic.
I have no idea what you're referring to.
I remember joking that one time when they weren't...
That's right.
Well, they weren't playing it because it was, you know, and they were saying because there was...
I don't think we were happy that nobody was playing it. I think the day that you're thinking of, the only time that we were really, like, exuberant about the Dixie Chicks was the day that they debuted at number one, despite the fact that nobody would play the record. And we pointed out that just shows you, that the bands like that... that they serve no purpose, that it's pointless.
Okay.
And that all bands like that do, whenever some group of pinheads decide that people shouldn't be allowed to hear a record because of the political content, all it does is make people buy the record even more. Which is, you know,
and I think that's clearly what this is all about, too. Why they won all these awards. It's just because of all the hype and stuff.
You have a whole lot of notes there. I know you got more than that.
All right, get into the notes, Scotty J.
No, I actually was going to print some stuff off, but, you know, I just... They were totally against the war
killing Hillary Clinton's enemies?
Why do they hate America? They were making comments off of U.S. soil about how they didn't support the president.
Yes.
And then they come back and they make a hit song that they're not ready to apologize. It's just a big... liberal freaking joke. I mean, why are we giving them Grammys for saying I hate the president and I hate the war and I hate what you're doing? Why? I don't understand it.
When did they say they hated the president?
They basically said they didn't support him, they were ashamed of him, ashamed that he was a Texan, etc., etc. On foreign land, you know, when they're not even in the country. You're not supposed to go to other countries and bash your country. unless you plan on moving over there. Mm-hmm. That's what an American is. So
he's what?
An American is someone who supports their country and doesn't go to other countries and bash on it and then come back and take a bunch of money for writing a song about how I bashed America. And it's a joke.
So to be an American...
Person on earth that has this belief right now.
I'm just trying to clarify this. So to be an American, one must never criticize America.
No, you know what? That's okay to do it on American soil. But to, like, go to other countries and bash America, why bother coming back? Live over there. It's that easy.
At what point did they bash America?
They bashed America
I'm curious now. What is it the Dixie Chicks said?
I don't know what they said, but they basically said...
Why can you be so angry about something if you don't know what they said?
Oh, nice twist. Nice, Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know word for word what they said, but I know that they said they do not support our president. They are ashamed of him, and they are ashamed that he is a Texan.
So...
But he's not a Texan.
He shouldn't be in this war.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they said, right?
Okay. Did you believe in free speech?
Absolutely.
But just not when you're, you know, elsewhere.
Well, free speech about bashing your own country in another country is just something that's like, walking with the flag dragging on the ground. It's something you don't do.
Well,
and if you are going to do it and you support that, maybe you should move to that country.
So... You don't believe that people should be rewarded for saying things you don't agree with.
I'm not saying that freedom of speech isn't a good thing. I think it's a joke that they're winning. They're getting Grammys for bashing, the president in the war.
It's just only freedom of speech is a good thing only in certain places.
Sure.
What other places is freedom of speech not good in?
I agree with freedom of speech.
In certain places?
Yes, in America, number one.
Okay, so freedom of speech in other countries shouldn't happen.
See, that's not what I said.
What is it you said?
I said you shouldn't bash America with your freedom of speech when you're in another country.
What did the Dixie Chicks say that bashed America?
Okay, here we go again. I don't know exactly what they said word for word.
But you're so angry about it.
Well, I'm just angry. Here's the whole anger thing. The fact that they were awarded, 5 Grammys or something like that?
For their music.
Yeah, for their music about how they're not ready to apologize to the president.
Do you feel that...
It's a joke. It's like a liberal... It's like a bunch of people in the music industry are, they hate the war, they hate the president, blah, blah, blah. And so we're really going to show them. And it's like, let's vote for Dixie Chicks this year. The album sucked, to be honest with you.
It was horrible.
Yes, I have. It is the worst. And I used to actually like the Dixie Chicks the way they harmonize, because I like all kinds of music.
Yes.
But I totally don't like them anymore, and their last album sucked. And so why are they getting all these Grammys? It doesn't make sense to me.
So you feel it's wrong that they were given an award because they didn't apologize?
I feel it's wrong that they were given an award for bashing their own president in the war while in another country. And let's put one more thing in perspective. They said, okay, if you're a country music fan and you're not going to support us anymore, then, like, screw you. We're not country music anymore anyways. We're rock and roll now. And and the country side are the people who paid to make them rich musicians.
So you feel that even though country radio doesn't support them, they should still support country?
No, that's not what I said. That's not even close to what I said.
Okay. But we have to do part two of this later on. My brain's beginning to hurt. 503-733, and we'll get to these calls. It's 503-733-2970. We get back. We'll have Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Mike will clarify what happened at the Grammys last night. Later on, we have Clyde Lewis and Jim Roop. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show.